morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about Northwestern Energy, the elk herd in the Bangtail Mountains testing negative for brucellosis, and updates on coronavirus. It's Tuesday, March 17th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Updates on an ongoing study of algae growth on the iconic Smith River are expected from the Montana Department of Environmental Quality this week. Rachel Kramer reports details on the study will be released at public meetings in Helena and White Sulphur Springs.
The Smith River in central Montana flows through forests and limestone canyon walls, with only one public put-in and takeout site for nearly 60 miles. Permits to float the river are a highly coveted commodity among anglers and other recreationists. But in 2015, DEQ and Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks started receiving numerous reports about excessive algae growth. Chase Bell is a water quality monitoring and assessment specialist at DEQ.
We've measured some stuff on the Smith that's up to a meter long, pretty healthy. It can range in color from bright emerald turf grass green to a bad bleached hair job.
Bell leads the ongoing Smith River nuisance algae study, which aims to understand why cladophora, an algae native to Montana, has suddenly grown in this water body.
It's kind of a question mark that we're investigating currently with this study in our final year of data collection.
He says higher temperatures may be a contributing factor. The team is studying phosphorus levels in the river and looking at the relationship between the two. Bell says this algae isn't harmful to humans, unlike other kinds of algae that cause blooms. He says too much of cladophora could affect which aquatic insects live in the river, but the main impact right now, he says, is on recreational activities, boating, fishing, swimming. Moira Davin, DEQ Public Relations Specialist, said in an email Monday afternoon that the public meeting in Helena Wednesday and White Sulphur Springs Thursday are still scheduled since the agency anticipates attendance will be less than 50 people at each. Public health officials have warned against holding larger public meetings over coronavirus concerns. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
The state's largest electric utility says it disagrees with a consumer advocate's request for the company to disclose more information about its plans to buy an added share of the Colstrip coal-fired power plant. Kayla DeRoche reports.
Northwestern Energy filed to buy an extra 25% of Unit 4 from Washington State's Puget Sound Energy for $1. The Montana Consumer Council criticized Northwestern for the level of information disclosed in the public plan the utility filed with state regulators last month. The council said the proposal lacks analysis on Unit 4 operating data, budgets, and maintenance needs. It stated that the application fails to meet the Public Service Commission's minimum filing requirements. Northwestern responded late last week and disagreed. It stated that the Montana Consumer Council's criticisms are related to merit rather than completeness, and that it's provided all the necessary information. The PSC is scheduled to address the purchase application at its regular business meeting Tuesday. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks announced yesterday that an elk herd in the Bangtail Mountains has tested negative for brucellosis. Rachel Kramer reports state wildlife managers recently completed the two-year project aimed at understanding the risk and spread of the disease in wildlife and livestock.
FWP says 100 samples taken from elk in the Bangtails in 2019 and 2020 have tested negative for exposure to brucellosis. The bacterial disease can spread between elk, bison, and cattle and cause female animals to abort their fetuses or give birth to weak calves. The disease is primarily transmitted through contact with infected birth tissues and fluids. FWP worked on the Bangtail herd study with the Montana Department of Livestock as part of Montana's Targeted Elk Brucellosis Surveillance Project. Elk were also sampled this year in the Ruby Mountains. The two agencies announced in February that two of the 100 elk sampled there had been exposed to brucellosis. The surveillance project includes capturing, sampling, and collaring elk populations near the Department of Livestock's designated surveillance area in southwest Montana. The project started in 2011 to monitor the presence of brucellosis in elk and herd migration patterns. This information can help both agencies make management decisions to decrease the risk of brucellosis spreading from wildlife to livestock. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Montana Governor Steve Bullock voiced concerns yesterday about ensuring medical care providers have access to supplies in the face of rising national demand caused by the novel coronavirus. Bullock says his office is getting an overall assessment of what supplies are available statewide. At the time of Bullock's call with reporters Monday afternoon, the state has about 750 COVID-19 test kits available and expects another 1,000 to arrive from the CDC on Wednesday.
And I do have concerns about ensuring that we will have enough in the near future. And it's not just the tests, right? It's the adjacent supplies. Everything from the swabs and the vials that are transported with the swabs.
State Health Department Medical Officer Gregory Holzman says his office keeps in contact with hospitals about the number of equipment, like ventilators, they have on hand. That can change as patients are taken on and off the equipment. The State Health Department says it'd rather see hospitals focus on patients than continually update data. Missoula County Health Department officials on Sunday said they're having trouble hiring nurses to monitor 2 confirmed COVID-19 cases and reach out to people they may have come in contact with. They also raised concerns that the state doesn't have a mass quarantine center. Governor Bullock:
we are looking at it and different potential facilities around the state.
Bozeman's County Health Department has floated securing hotel rooms or houses as potential quarantine and isolation sites. As of this broadcast, Montana has 8 positive in-state COVID-19 cases. The CDC is no longer doing secondary confirmation tests of state results. The Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will send $4.5 million to Montana to help slow the spread of the novel coronavirus. The money is part of an $8 billion federal spending package passed by Congress that includes grants to states to carry out COVID-19 response efforts. Montana's U.S. Senators John Tester and Steve Daines both sent press releases yesterday praising the federal action. Yesterday night, the Montana Health Department reported 2 more patients tested positive for COVID-19 in the state, a Yellowstone County woman in her 20s and a Missoula County man in his 20s, bring Montana's total in-state cases to 8 after more than 300 people have been tested. Yellowstone County Commissioners issued a countywide emergency declaration yesterday morning following the confirmation of a COVID-19 case in the county Friday. Kayla DeRoche reports.
Commissioner Dennis Pittman said the declaration enables the county to be eligible for federal recovery funds, following measures like closing restaurants and other businesses to decrease the chance of exposure.
We need to be able to gather that information, quantify it, and be able to submit it to whatever resources might be available for reimbursement or for some type of relief as we go into the future.
Yellowstone County Health Officer John Felton released an order Monday closing all bars, breweries, wineries, and casinos in the county starting Tuesday morning through March 23rd. Takeout and delivery services are still allowed. Vital food services like hospital or college cafeterias are also exempt. Felton said the sunset date for the closures may be sooner or later than currently announced, depending on the status of the virus in the county. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Several counties in Montana announced Monday they're taking aggressive steps to reduce large gatherings to slow the spread of the novel coronavirus. Rachel Kramer reports the orders came just a day before St. Patrick's Day celebrations kicked off across the state.
While many businesses are adjusting services or voluntarily postponing or canceling events, Monday appears to mark the first government top-down directive to limit crowd sizes. Butte Silver Bow County Health Officer Karen Sullivan said during a Facebook Live event that actions must be taken to avert and minimize the outbreak of COVID-19. Silver Bow County has a confirmed case.
All bars, breweries, distilleries, casinos, restaurants, and gyms, with the exception of drive-through, delivery, and pickup services within the city and county of Butte Silver Bow, Montana, shall be closed to the public effective at 4 p.m. today, Monday.
Missoula, Gallatin, Silver Bow, Lewis and Clark, and Yellowstone counties announced similar closure orders Monday. Sullivan in Silver Bow County said the types of businesses listed will be closed for 1 week, pending further notification. Sullivan said hotels will stay open, their bars and buffets will not. Justice and city court judges are asking people to call their offices to make appointments for court appearances. No jail visitation is allowed at this time. Residents are also being asked to pay water utility bills online or in the mail. There will be no penalties for late payments. Sullivan asked for non-essential meetings and large gatherings to be postponed.
The governor of the state of Montana, in consultation with public health authorities, has strongly recommended limiting of all gatherings, specifically gatherings of more than 50 people.
During a press call earlier Monday, Governor Steve Bullock said he had not ordered bars to close, but
we have to practice the social distancing to keep people safe.
The CDC strongly recommends limiting crowd sizes to 50, keeping a 6-foot personal bubble, and washing your hands frequently to the tune of Happy Birthday, Son, twice. In Bozeman, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Senior citizens are particularly susceptible to COVID-19, the infectious disease caused by the novel coronavirus. Those caring for the elderly now have to be even more careful to avoid inadvertently harming the same people they're trying to help. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports, sometimes it's easier said than done.
How do you feed Missoula's elderly while also not creating the breeding grounds for a viral outbreak?
So right now we're restricting it to 4 people at a table, although some tables have 1 person and some tables have 2 people, and they are 6 feet apart.
That's John Nugent, board president of the Missoula Senior Center. The South Higgins Avenue nonprofit boasts a membership of about 650 who pay a $25 annual fee. Under normal circumstances, that grants them access to a ballroom for square dancing, exercise facilities, and Thursday night bingo, among other amenities. But because of the emerging COVID-19 threat, the center has scrapped all group and social activities except one.
As of right now, we're continuing our meal program because a lot of the people that are here have housing, transportation, nutrition, and social isolation challenges.
The center contracts with Missoula Aging Services to provide lunches for low-income seniors who otherwise may not be able to afford the center's annual membership fee. Nugent says they typically serve about 120 meals daily, Monday through Friday. That's more than twice the crowd size public health officials are recommending to try to slow the spread of the COVID-19 illness, which disproportionately affects seniors. Missoula City County Health Department Director Ellen Leahy wants a health officer to take a closer look at the senior center's dining arrangement.
I will have to hear about this particular service, the senior center, which is a necessary service, and see how that can be done more safely.
Missoula Aging Services CEO Susan Kohler doesn't necessarily agree with the continuation of the senior center's luncheon. Kohler, however, says it does highlight a legitimate concern.
People are accustomed to coming together, seeing their friends at lunch every day or a couple of times a week, and being told you got to go home and get your meal another way. It might not even be a problem that they can get a meal as much as it is that they become socially isolated. So it's a complex issue beyond the medical aspect of it.
The senior center's John Nugent puts it another way.
We are mature beings, and we can do our own risk assessment and make our own decision as to whether we want to go out or not.
The Missoula City County Health Department issued an order Monday closing local bars and limiting restaurant service. It does not apply to food services that are a sole source of food for a population such as nursing homes or hospitals. Nugent believes the senior center's luncheon falls under that exemption.
And we're not going to put people on the street without food. These people rely on us, and we're going to provide that until we can find an alternative.
He acknowledges it's a delicate balancing act.
We spend a lot of time talking about what is the greater good. These are very difficult decisions.
Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
The Sunday evening announcement that schools would be canceled starting yesterday sent many parents into crisis mode to find childcare. But thanks to quick planning by the incident command team at the Billings Clinic, essential healthcare workers and first responders in Billings have a free and secure place to take their kids. Kay Erickson has the details on how the plan to use the Billings Public Library came together in a matter of hours.
Jim Duncan, part of the COVID-19 incident command team at Billings Clinic, knew that childcare would become a critical need during this health emergency. Over the weekend, the team was touring empty buildings near the hospital zone when they thought about the Billings Public Library.
We made a call to the mayor, to the city administrator, and who ultimately then got the library team involved. And they said, absolutely, we'd like to help.
The situation changed rapidly on Sunday.
Once the governor made his announcement last evening, our team spent the night into the wee hours of the morning working on a full plan that was up and ready to go at 6 a.m. this morning, and we were able to start taking kids.
Part of the setup included security measures and establishing a process to take temperature checks for staff and incoming kids. Also on Sunday, an outside cleaning service came in to do a top-to-bottom cleaning, which they will also do each night. During the day, the staff on hand will use the clinic's supply of wipes and bleach and other cleaning supplies as needed. This free child care service is staffed by volunteers from the Billings Clinic and available for essential workers from Billings Clinic, St. Vincent Healthcare, Riverstone Health, and local first responders. While the library is closed to the public, Duncan says it's an opportunity for some of these kids to get to know their library while their parents are grateful for a place for them to go.
They're busy exploring the Billings Public Library in a very unique and awesome way to help keep essential community healthcare resources available to serve our public in their time of need for health.
In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson for Yellowstone Public Radio News.
With Montana News, I'm Nikki Bullett. Following Montana Governor Steve Bullock's order Sunday to close public schools for 2 weeks due to detections of the novel coronavirus, districts around the state scrambled on Monday to set plans in place for remote learning and feeding students. Aaron Bolton has been reporting on how schools are responding to these detections and shares his reporting with us now. Aaron, it sounds like school districts didn't really get a heads up about the governor's order on Sunday for public schools to close. He held a press conference earlier today and he touched on the closures. What did he say?
Bullock said he called for the closures to allow schools to get their long-term plans in place, and what most districts are focusing on right now is how they'll continue education either online or by delivering physical learning materials to kids, and for how they'll get breakfast and lunch out to students on free and reduced meal programs. And from what I can tell, it seems like private schools are also following suit.
Gotcha. And we're right around spring break, aren't we?
Yeah, a lot of schools will be on spring break either this week or next, and that gives them more time to plan. However, the Helena School District won't be on break until 3 weeks from now, so Superintendent Tyler Ream says his staff are moving pretty quickly to get their plans solidified by Thursday. And when it comes to online learning, his district already uses an online platform known as Clever, so that transition to remote learning won't be seamless, but a little easier than districts without something in place. Let's hear what he had to say.
We're also working through Chromebook checkout, so if somebody doesn't have a device that they can utilize at home, we want to be able to provide that device, and so we'll have that checkout available at every school on Wednesday.
You know, recent reports from the FCC and Microsoft say anywhere between 290,000 and 720,000 Montanans don't have internet access at broadband speeds at home. What plans are in place for kids who don't have or can't get internet at home? What are districts trying to do about that?
You know, that's a big question for a lot of districts. Many are working with internet providers to get internet connections into homes without one. I know Spectrum put out word last week the company will install free service in homes with students for 60 days. Districts without devices to check out, like Helena, are also talking to companies like Verizon to get internet-enabled devices. So it really depends on how the district is set up. Some are scrambling to find online platforms to use as well. I'm hearing that Zoom, Google Hangouts, and Skype are all likely candidates for teachers to use. And there are also options to deliver physical materials, you know, good old-fashioned pencil and paper, to students who can't get internet or a device. And that's also a popular option for younger kids, kindergarten through third grade, who might not be as efficient learning online.
Oh, wow, really running the gamut. What about food programs? Are schools ready to get breakfast and lunch out to students who really depend on those meals?
Many schools already seem to be on top of this, and that's in part due to a waiver the state received last week from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, allowing schools to utilize their summer programs, which typically deliver breakfast and lunch to various locations within a county or district. Bozeman Superintendent Bob Connor says his district is already meeting with the local food bank and others to get the district's summer program running by next Monday when spring break is over.
That's my expectation today at, 1 o'clock, but we'll have to see if that can actually happen. Hopefully it can, because I know we do have a lot of kids that rely on school meals.
You know, even the governor who wrote the order to close schools down earlier on Monday, he acknowledged this is a huge upheaval for families. What have you been hearing from parents?
Well, there are really two sides to this coin, and it's really hard to say based on social media how public opinion among parents is split, but there are parents who really support school closures as a precautionary measure for both kids and the community that they interact with. And there are parents who depend on their kids being in school. I spoke with Kalispell parent Jess Cleveland just before Governor Bullock ordered school closures Sunday. And Cleveland, who owns her own bridal alteration business, says she can't afford daycare and will likely fall behind on work.
It's kind of one of those things where you look at school closures in a different light when you're financially challenged. And there's a lot of financially challenged people in the Flathead Valley that are, you know, going to suffer with school closures.
That is a really challenging situation. Speaking of daycares, are they swamped today with parents who are scrambling to find care for their kids?
Actually, no. I heard from a handful of daycare facilities across the state, ranging in size with 90 kids enrolled daily to 20. And almost all said it was a slow day, and many parents are finding other options, though they have been receiving calls about capacity in the coming days, so that certainly could change. I know one facility in Great Falls that has closed and is following Governor Bullock's order for public schools to close as well, but I'm hearing a lot of concern from daycare facilities about what they say is a lack of guidance from the state. Carmen Keebler manages Giggles Daycare here in Columbia Falls, where I'm based, and says that's a huge source of frustration, and they're taking their own precautions while deciding on a day-to-day basis whether to stay open. Let's hear what she had to say.
We do have a questionnaire that you need to fill out, and one of our big questions is, does anyone in your household have a fever, cough, sore throat, nausea, vomiting, or difficulty breathing? And if you answer yes to that, unfortunately, you can't come in. We're checking temps at the door. We visually see your child has runny nose, goopy eyes. They're not coming in, unfortunately.
Smaller facilities like Giggles say if they are ordered to shut down, they won't be able to pay their employees. And that same facility in Great Falls that already closed down says it will pay its employees for 2 weeks and prorate the cost of care for families through March. But there isn't much ability in this industry to do any more than that.
So really a varied approach to how to handle this influx of kiddos and at the same time maintain community health. What kind of guidance is coming down from the governor's office? And is there a potential that these, you know, daycare facilities will be shut down?
Bullock was asked about whether or not he would be changing any regulations for daycares, and he didn't really say whether or not that was coming. He said there are discussions on that, and he also didn't mention whether an order for daycare facilities to close down could be forthcoming.
Gotcha. So a little bit up in the air as government officials scramble to finalize response plans and issue up new guidance. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for sharing your reporting with us.
Yeah, no problem. It was a pleasure to be here.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.